Hey, everybody, and welcome to Learning from Smart People. I am your host, Rob Oliver, and I wish you a wonderful and fantastic new year, and I am hoping for excellent things in the new year for you. We've been going through a rough time with all of the issues that we've had, and I'm just hoping that things get better for all of us. My smart person today is Joy Cheng. She is the queen of transformational book publishing and is passionate about helping people write and publish their books so they can make the income and the impact they desire and deserve. She believes that when we share our stories, we heal ourselves and we heal the world. Joy, welcome to the show.
Hi, Rob. Thank you so much for having me. And it's an honor to be here with you.
Oh, absolutely. So tell me a little bit about like your backstory. How did you get to where you are today? What's the Joy Cheng backstory?
Okay, I will try to keep it short.
Sure.
So basically, when I was in my 20s, I went through years of depression and suicidal thoughts. It was a sad time, but it was also a really confusing time in my life because I really didn't know why I felt that way. You know, it wasn't like anything bad had happened. Maybe sometimes, you know, we go through something that makes us feel that way. Like maybe we go through a bad breakup or, you know, a loss in our life. But my life was good at the time. You know, I had friends and, you know, family that cared about me, and I had a job, and was doing well. And I just didn't understand why I felt that way. And then I actually ended up in an abusive relationship. And it was, you know, at that point when I realized that I didn't really love myself. You know, I really didn't have that awareness before then. Because I was talking to my friends and they were like, you're amazing. Like, why would you, you know, be in this relationship? And why would you stay in this relationship? And so it really made me start questioning, you know, myself and realize that, yeah, that I needed to work on loving myself. And then I actually ended up going to an energy healing seminar that my ex, the abusive boyfriend, actually introduced me to, ironically, I guess. And it was there that I started realizing that I had certain beliefs that were putting conditions on my own happiness. So, for example, you know, I had this belief that if I got married, I'd be happier, you know, and I also had a belief that if I was single, I'd be miserable. I started questioning those beliefs. You know, I kind of told myself, or, you know, asked myself, like, how do I know that getting married is going to make me happier? And how do I know that, you know, being single is going to make me miserable? Like, what if being single was the best thing that, you know, ever happened to me or that I ever did? And, obviously there's like a 50% divorce rate in the country. So I was like, you know, there's probably a lot of people that are married that are unhappy. Being at that seminar and, you know, asking those questions, it really, even if you don't know the answers, like the great thing about that is you don't even have to know the answers, but just by asking those questions, I feel like it created space for a possibility of something different, you know, in my life. And so, through that seminar, being there and, asking those questions, I decided that I needed to end that relationship for good. It was, you know, kind of like on and off for 4.5 years. And I was like, okay, I need to, you know, just break up with my boyfriend and then just learn to love myself and, you know, enjoy being single. Cause I had basically found myself in this habit or pattern of like being in long-term relationships, kind of going from one, you know, long-term relationship to another and not really being happy, but being afraid of being alone. And, you know, it goes back to my childhood and, you know, kind of like abandonment stuff with my dad. But, So I made that decision, and then, you know, the universe started kind of bringing opportunities into my life to support me in learning how to love myself, because that's something that I think most of us don't really, we're not taught, like, you know, to love ourselves and what that looks like and how to do that. I know I wasn't, you know, taught that as a kid, and I didn't really, my parents are great, but I wasn't really like, you know, didn't get the constant kind of like affirmations, you know, from them of how amazing I am and just to kind of build me up more, you know, I started working with women and, I had been doing coaching before that, but just kind of doing general coaching, helping people to, you know, just, you know, achieve their best life. But then I started focusing on helping women specifically learn to love themselves, to live their dream life, because I realized that that was kind of the thing that has been the biggest challenge in my life. And, you know, they say you teach what you need to learn, right? So, I ended up publishing my book, my first book in 2017. And it's basically my diary in the world, because it's very super personal. And, you know, it's basically about my journey of self-love and about the lessons that I learned. And there's journaling questions and there's 7 practices that helped me learn to love myself and basically like save my life too. Because, you know, I actually had somebody say one time that depression is anger turned inwards. Mm. And, you know, I never thought that I was angry at myself at the time. But I was like, you know, after learning to love myself, and obviously it's a journey, so it's not like, you know, you get to any kind of destination. It's still, I'm still in that journey. But I realized looking back, I was like, wow, you know, it was through learning to love myself that I healed myself from the depression. So it makes sense that, you know, when you're depressed, that you're angry at yourself, that then self-love would be the antidote to that.
So you shared a lot there, and I appreciate your openness about kind of what you went through. And there are a couple things that regular listeners to the show will know. And one is that feeling of, you know, when something happens, this is what will make the difference. This is what will change. This is what will make me happy. And it's external to you. But regular listeners know that my position is kind of that nothing that happens to you is good or bad. It's the reaction that you make to it. It's what you choose to do with it. And so I'm very sad that you went through an abusive relationship, but I'm sure that there are things that you learned as a result of that, that you may not have learned otherwise. And I'm projecting completely from my own experiences. And here's why. You know, when I was 21, I had a spinal cord injury. So I use a wheelchair. I'm paralyzed from the chest down. And that I've learned a tremendous amount from that. And it is, I wouldn't have chosen this path, but being as it's the path I'm on, I kind of like what you were saying is, I can choose to let my circumstances make me miserable, or I can choose to learn from that. I can choose to grow from that and become a better person and realize that my external circumstances cannot define me and cannot make me any less valuable than I already am. What's your kind of reaction to that?
No, I thank you for sharing your story, you know, a little bit of your story and being vulnerable. And I think that, yeah, I definitely actually completely agree with you as far as, you know, that nothing is good or bad, that, you know, it's really what, I don't know if you heard this saying, but, you know, nothing has meaning except the meaning you give it. So yeah, I don't think that anything is inherently good or bad. I think society has conditioned us to believe certain things are good and certain things are bad. And even it's interesting because even like, you know, something like a breakup or a divorce, right? Like I've noticed that, or even death, it's like, I've noticed that people will project their own feelings kind of onto you, right? Like when, so both of my parents passed away, and when I lost them, you know, I remember actually like I lost my mom first, and at her funeral, I just remember so many people, you know, the hardest part was them coming up to me and my sister, my brother, and saying, you know, I'm sorry, you know, for your loss. And just the repeated, like, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I was like, honestly, like I felt okay about it, but just, I felt like people, And I get like people, I think, don't know what to say, right? In that situation, right. Like that's the normal thing to say, but it's like, maybe instead of just saying what society expects us to say, like just asking somebody like, how are you feeling about this? Right. Because you don't know where someone's at. Right. And you don't know that, like, if someone's getting divorced, or if they have a loss, that you just assume that that's a bad thing, that they're sad, right? What if they're actually really happy that they're getting divorced? Because, you know, that's actually a good thing, right? And with a death, it's like, I don't believe that we actually die. I believe that, you know, we are souls that live on forever. And so I believe that it's a transition, and that, you know, their bodies die, but we don't die, you know? And so I feel like my own maybe belief about life and how it works has helped me like to deal with death in a way that maybe not everybody does, but yeah. So it's just really interesting, because I think we definitely can project our own feelings onto other people's experiences. And like you said, yeah, the great thing is, if you believe that nothing is good or bad, then you have that choice in terms of how you're going to interpret it, like you said, right? And I know you said something about your situation and being like, this isn't what I would have chosen. To be honest, like, I think that we do choose our experiences, but I don't know that we're always conscious, you know, like I had someone say that we actually get shown our entire life before we're born. And basically once we're born, it's like amnesia. We like forget everything. And then we basically are spending our entire life, like living the life that we were shown. And I don't know if that makes any sense to you, but you know, if you've ever had that experience of like the deja vu where you meet somebody and you feel like you've met them before, but you don't actually remember meeting them before. To me, I'm like, I think that there could be truth to that, you know, and it's hard because I know like when there's quote unquote bad things that happen to people, right? If they're born in a family that's abusive, parents or, you know, I mean, just so many things that, you know, could happen. It's like, why would somebody choose that? But I think that on some level, like we do choose that and it could be to make us stronger, right? Because I know in my situation, like I think being in that abusive relationship, like I don't know that I could have, you know, like realized what my life purpose is without having gone through that, as well as like the things that I did as a kid. And, you know, just if I had like the most perfect, quote unquote, perfect family and childhood and everything, like, you know, I think that we definitely have a level of compassion, you know, empathy, and relatability, right? When we're able to go through those experiences and then to, help other people through those.
Yeah. And I mean, the simple fact is this, that depression is not simply, simply relegated to people who are poor and people who are coming from single families. You know, depression is just as prevalent, sometimes more prevalent among people, among affluent people where they have two parents and, you know, they may have had everything growing up. And it's not like those people aren't experiencing difficulty in life and aren't experiencing difficulty in coping with what's going on in their life. So it sounds like you and I have this in common, and that is we've both shared our stories. We've both written, I wrote a book, and I think it kind of fits in with what you were talking about, that life is a journey. And so for me, I wrote my story. It was called Still Walking. And the concept is literally that life is a journey. And just because I use a wheelchair doesn't mean that I stop traveling on the journey of life. And so talk to me about the encouragement that you have for other people to share their stories, because not everybody, thankfully, not everybody has a spinal cord injury like me. Not everybody goes through an abusive relationship or a depressive episode. And what's your encouragement for other people as far as sharing their story and the importance of that?
Yeah, you know, I do really believe that we all have a story. I had a guy that was like, you know, I feel like I've actually had a pretty blessed life. Like I haven't really gone through a lot of quote unquote, like terrible things. Right. And so I don't know if I have a story to share, you know, something that could help other people. And I was like, well, have you ever had a breakup, you know, like, have you ever gone through a breakup? You've gotten your heart broken or, you know, I mean, any kind of challenge, you know, the most blessed people have challenges too. Right. Or I was like, well, if you haven't, do you think maybe there's somebody out there who also hasn't gone through a lot of kind of, and they're, you know, wondering if anybody can kind of relate to them. And so even if you have had this really amazing life, then you could share about that. And I'm sure there's someone else that could relate to that too, you know, and actually he kind of felt guilty, like for not having like more challenges, you know, which is interesting. But yeah, I think that no matter what kind of life you've had, you can always help somebody with your story. So there's, yeah, any kind of anything that you've gone through. I think that our stories are really unique. Like, so the thing that actually inspired me to write my book, unlike maybe a lot of authors that, you know, always wanted to write a book, I never actually thought about writing a book until about maybe like 5-6 years ago. So I was at a seminar and I heard this guy, James McNeil, speaking on stage, and he was talking about, you know, when we die, that if we don't write our story down, that it'll be lost in the world forever. You know, basically someone else could write a book about our life, but it would never be the way that we would tell it. And that really touched me. It really kind of planted that seed, you know, it made me think like, wow, you're right. Like I've never thought about it that way. And I do have a story to share. You know, I know I've gone through things that can help other people. And, you know, it's great to be able to do these podcast interviews and speak, but there's something about the written, you know, and I do have an audiobook as well, you know, and the Kindle and the print version. But yeah, there's something about the written version of a book that is so powerful because it really does live on long after you're gone, you know? So it's just amazing to think that, you know, 100 years after I die, someone could find my book and their life could be changed and possibly even saved, you know? And so That sense of like the legacy and that impact. I think that, you know, at the end of our life, we're not going to be thinking about, man, I wish I had worked more, right? But we're going to be thinking about, you know, I wish I'd spent more time with my family, or, you know, I wonder what, like, if I wish I had made a bigger impact on the world, did I make enough of an impact, right? Like, so I think that that's what really inspires me to encourage other people to share their story.
Yeah. So I just, let me use the analogy this way. And again, I've mentioned this on the show before, that we're not like computers, right? When you have a computer and you upgrade to a new computer, the old computer dies, but you can put, you know, a USB memory stick in there and you can download all the information from the old computer and just upload it to the new one. And you can basically pick up right where you left off because everything is easily downloadable and transferable. With humans, it's not that way. You can't download your information and pass it along to somebody in its entirety. So there are different ways to do it. The one is to live your life and to leave an example for other people to follow. And I think that that's very powerful. Another is to speak and to share your message. And that's one way. But what you're saying, and I think I agree with this completely, is when you put it into physical form, when you put it into book form, it's literally information that can be handed to someone else that, for lack of a better analogy, downloads a piece of you into them. Does that analogy make sense to you at all?
Yeah, for sure. And I like what you said, downloading a piece of you into them. I've never heard that before. But yeah, I like that. And I think also, you know, like, I mean, podcasts require the internet, right? Which, I mean, it's hard to imagine the internet won't be around forever, but, you know, yes, you never know. And I guess the truth is we don't know if books will be around forever, but, you know, I hope that they are, because they are so valuable. And I think that, you know, a great thing too is that a book is a way that someone can find out about me and my work that they may not be able to afford, like my coaching, for example, or other things, right? But like, almost like everyone can afford a book, like, you know, like Kindle was like $2 or something. So it gives your, you know, people the ability to like to reach people that you may not otherwise be able to reach in any part of the world, right? And so
and that's it's so interesting that I think about this. Okay, when my kids are 19 years old, I've got triplets, they'll be 20 at the end of this month, but I had all of their pictures in digital format when they were little, right? We used a compact flash card in a camera to take all the pictures. But the issue was that at some point we downloaded them to the computer and that computer crashed and we lost a lot of the pictures of my kids growing up because it was just in electronic format. And I think about that, you know, I don't imagine the internet ever going away, but when you have something in a physical form as a printed book, there's something that has a certain element of permanence with that, that, you know, it is something that, and I've thought about this and I mentioned this to people who are using a book as a marketing tool, that I had Donna Kozik on, who talks about your book as your big business card. When you give someone a book that shows who you are, shows what your expertise is, people don't throw books away as often as they throw business cards away. And so it's something that sticks with them and that people carry on. I'm curious, did you self-publish your book or how did you go about the book publishing process?
So when I was working on my book, you know, I was thinking about whether I wanted to self-publish or go the traditional publishing route. And so I was thinking about that. And, you know, it's not necessarily even an either or, like you can do both. And so I decided that I wanted to self-publish first, because that way I could do it however I wanted. You know, when you have a publisher, they may be like, I don't like your cover. You know, I want it to look like this. I don't like your title. I don't like whatever, like that. You don't have the rights to kind of do whatever, the freedom to do whatever you want with it, you know? And so I really wanted to be able to do the book my way. And so I decided that I was going to self-publish. And then, you know, if it became really successful, then and a publisher wanted to pick it up, then they're probably not going to change much, if anything at all, with it, because it's been successful already, right? So I was like, okay, I'll just do that. And so that's what I did. I self-published. And then you know, I still have it just self-published. I've actually heard some, you know, pretty bad stories from other people, some kind of horror stories. I had a woman that said that she went through a publisher and she, you know, knew that she had sold books, but she wasn't getting any of the money. And so it was pretty crazy. And, you know, I get my money deposited into my account every month, right? Automatically goes into my account. And so I always know like that I don't have to worry about like if I sell books that I don't get the money. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that there's pros and cons to both. I think there's some like people sometimes don't understand exactly what going through a publisher means. You know, I mean, obviously first, like, you know, it could take a long time, like years to even get picked up by a publisher, as well as that it's like an advance, that it's not like just free money, you know, that they actually loan you the money. And then if you don't sell a certain number of copies, then you have to, you know, give them like pay back that amount. And, you know, you may have to do your marketing. I mean, there's like a lot of things that I don't think people really understand about the traditional route versus self-published. And then there's also a lot of scams out there, to be honest, as well. So you have to be wary of some of the publishing publishers out there. And one of the tips would be, you know, like if someone like asks you or says you have to print, use a certain printer, then I would be wary of that. Like you should be able to choose, you know, what printer you use.
Yeah, definitely. And not only that, but in my experience, because I also self-published, and in my experience, the profit margins between a traditional publisher and self-publishing can be very different. So if you're looking at your book as a way of generating some revenue, which it should be another revenue stream, self-publishing does have some advantages there as well. So you decided to self-publish, which I would imagine there is definitely a huge learning curve there. What were some of the things that you went through that you kind of, that you bumped up against, that you've learned from and that you share with the folks that you are talking to about creating their own books?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, one of the things that can hold people back, I mean, there's, I guess, several factors, right? But one of the things is, especially when you're sharing your story, is that it's super personal. And so, you know, that fear of like, well, what if I have gone through some pretty bad things in my life, like, I'm afraid to go back to that place, right? Like to revisit, revisit those, that time in my life. And so there's that fear of having to relive that experience. And, you know, I always tell my clients and prospective clients that there is a chance that you may have to, I mean, you may live that, you know, kind of experience again, but what you're probably going to experience is that you're a lot stronger now than you were then. And so I know from me in writing my book and sharing my story that I had what I call, you know, like a dark night, a very dark night of the soul, where I had a night where I had that kind of thought of like killing myself come up again. But it was like, and actually, so to be honest, like I had those thoughts come up since, you know, when I was in my 20s and since that period, but like there was never really an energy behind it. So there would be like this kind of thought of like, oh, maybe I'll kill myself in a second later. I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. And so like, you know, there was no energy behind it, but this time there was an energy behind it. And so it kind of scared me, to be honest, but I was sitting in my bathroom and I kind of just, you know, pray to God and just ask the question, like, what's the gift in this? Because I always believe that there's a gift, you know, in every experience. And we don't always get that answer right away, but I think just asking the question, you know, can really help. And so I asked the question, and the answer that I got was that I was going through that experience so that I could better connect to my readers that may be going through that experience in this moment, right? And back to that time in my life when I felt that way, to connect to them. And so yeah, so it was actually a really beautiful thing, even though it sucked kind of in the moment and you know, it was scary in the moment to go through that experience. But I think that I needed to connect back to that time in my life.
I think what you mentioned in there is really, really important. And that is, we are humans. And as such, we all go through the experience of being human. And so when you share your story, so many times there are people who may not have gone through your exact situation, but there's something about it that resonates with them. There's something about it that connects with them. And when they hear the way in which, when they hear what you learn from it, or when they hear, you know, the message that you have to share about what got you through that difficult time, it's going to be something that is beneficial to them, because at the end of the day, we're all human, right? Does that make sense to you at all?
For sure. And I think that's the thing too. It's beautiful is that even if you haven't gone through my exact experiences in my life, I think you can relate to the emotions, right? Like I had a friend who read my book and said, you know, that I felt like you were speaking to me and that even though we've lived very different lives, like, you know, I could really relate to your story. And I love that because I think that's very true, right? And so regardless of if you've gone through the exact same experiences, and the great thing too, is that even if two people have gone through the exact same experiences, their perception of their experience could be very different, right? So, and yeah, but we all have the normal human emotions, right? We all feel sadness. We all feel, you know, excitement. We all feel joy, you know, anger. I mean, so I think that we can relate, you know, through the emotions in the stories.
Okay. What are your suggestions? So if somebody's like, yeah, I want to write a book, I'm considering self-publishing, but I don't know anything about how to get my book out there. And like, besides my immediate friends and my immediate family and my friends, like who would buy my book? Like, can you talk a little bit about the bigger picture of sharing your story, not just with those that are in your inner circle, so to speak, but sharing your story in a way that makes a broader impact in the world at large?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it depends on obviously what you're doing in your life, what your goals are. I think that a book is, I mean, if you're an entrepreneur, I think you have to have a book, you know, or a speaker, like you got to have a book. And yeah, I mean, and that's the thing too, is that, you know, you're not going to most likely make millions of money, like millions of dollars on your book, you know, even if you sell millions of copies, to be honest, because, you know, if you're going through a traditional publisher, they take a ton of that money, like you said. And so you're not going to see, you know, the millions from the book. But what you are going to make a lot of money on is on the other side of that, right? So I tell my clients, like, whatever you're offering on the other side, if you're offering coaching or consulting or speaking or, you know, whatever it is, like, you're going to make like your money back multiple times over, right, on that. And that's what I have done in my book. Was the greatest thing that, you know, I ever did for my business, you know, on a professional level and personally as well, obviously. But yeah, I mean, my business completely like exploded after I published my book. I got my highest paying client. I had doubled my income in 3 months. I hadn't even really done a speaking engagement until my book launch. You know, I did in person in an e-launch. And I started even before actually my book got published, like I started having people reach out to me and say, hey, I've got an event coming up. Would you like to speak at this event? Mm. And then I've been on some of the top podcasts in the world and with millions of listeners. And so, yeah, it's just been incredible.
Cool. And I mean, you're saying the other top podcasts in the world along with this one, right?
Of course. Sorry. Yeah.
no problem. I thank you for sharing that. And I think that is such a reminder that this book is, there needs to be something in your book that is a call to action, that it's more than just sharing your story. It's what, I guess you kind of have to start with the why, or the why are you writing this book? What do you want people to do as a result of reading this book? Where do you want them to be? How do you want them to feel? All of those things together are really what makes the book such a powerful tool in your arsenal of marketing assets, or however you want to frame that. Listen, Joy, it's been wonderful to talk to you. If people want to learn more about you or work with you, what's the best way to do that?
So the best way is to go to my website, which is Joy Chang. It's JoyChang.com. And you can go there and you can, you know, check out my other podcast interviews and learn more about me. And then you can also book a Clarity Breakthrough call with me. So if you are interested in sharing your story, if you know that's been on your mind and in your heart, and you just have a story that really needs to be shared with the world, and you know that this is the year that you are finally going to do that, I would love to support you on that journey. I know for me, I tried to do it on my own for a while, and honestly, it wasn't working. I wasn't really getting anywhere. And it's just so easy, I think, especially, you know, in this day and age where we're so busy, right? Like there's so many things that are competing for our attention that it's so easy to kind of put that on the back burner and to put everything else first. But when I made the decision to hire my editor, to make that commitment, you know, financial, that investment in myself and my business, it made the biggest difference. Like that's how I was able to write my book in like 3 months. And And it really doesn't have to take a lot of time. It's not like I spent 8 hours a day, writing. It was like maybe 30 minutes. Sometimes I didn't even write at all, or weeks, I wouldn't write at all. And so it really doesn't have to take a lot of time. It is an investment, but it's, like I said, well worth it. That money, I mean, that book is literally going to pay you back for the rest of your life, right? So,
Yes.
yeah.
Definitely. Okay, so I will make sure to put that link in the show notes so that people can get in touch with you and to get that clarity call, which would be very beneficial for anyone that's interested. Joy, you've been wonderful. It is now time for three questions to establish your humanity. Are you ready for these, my friend?
Sure.
Okay, tell me one thing that is on your bucket list, something that you want to make sure that you get done before you, as you said earlier, before you transition.
Skydiving.
Okay, are you brave enough to go solo? Or are you willing to do the tandem skydive, or what are your thoughts there?
Well, I believe you have to go tandem the first time. So, so I don't think you really have a choice. Like, I think you have somebody that's with you. I have been waiting for like kind of that special person to share that experience with, to be honest. But, I'm like, maybe I should just do it and then I could do it again with them, right?
Yeah, hey, it's your call and it's your life. You make the choice, and however it works for you, that is fine. So, if Joy Chang came with a warning label, what would your friends say? This is going to be the Joy Chang warning label that people should be aware of.
That's an interesting question. I've never had that question before. So the thing that came to mind, the first thing was that I am like really honest, and sometimes like maybe they're like, I can't believe you said that, like too honest. So maybe that would be the warning label, but I honestly don't believe in being too honest. I think that there's not enough honesty in this world, and that I wish that we could just really share. What I mean, I guess, that's what the things, one of the things that I love about, like, I facilitated women's circles before. And one of the beautiful things about being in a circle is that you get to just share whatever is on your mind and your heart without any judgment, without someone trying to fix you, quote unquote, right? And give you advice. And so being able to do that more, I think, is really amazing, to have people that you can just say whatever's on your mind without them judging you for it, trying to make it better, just holding space for it.
Okay, so my summation of the Joy Chang warning label is: don't ask questions you don't want to hear the answer to. Is that properly summed up?
Yeah, or even, I mean, I will just say things even without people asking me the questions, but
There
just
you go.
knowing that, yeah, you're
Yeah.
not going to have much of a filter, you know?
Wonderful. Okay, last question for you. It's wintertime here in Pittsburgh, and sometimes it's cold outside, and you just want to be inside for some comfort food. So, to me, the ultimate comfort food is grilled cheese and some form of soup. If you have your choice of comfort food, either what soup are you pairing with your grilled cheese, or what is the Joy Chang comfort food of choice on cold and miserable days?
Another good question. I mean, I would say definitely tomato soup if you're going with grilled cheese. Yeah, I mean, I was thinking soup of some kind, maybe like a chili.
Okay,
I don't know.
yep, that works. And so the important question then becomes: if you're having your grilled cheese, are you cutting it? You have to cut your grilled cheese in half. Are you cutting it on the diagonal, or are you cutting it on the straight across?
Diagonal.
Of course,
for sure.
it's yeah.
Yeah.
And when you make tomato soup, the secret of good tomato soup is that it's got to be made with milk and not water. Is that true in your place?
So I'm vegan
Okay.
mostly, so
What?
probably would be water then.
No problem. I'm not going to make you eat anything that you don't want to eat. It's your life, and I'm not messing with that at all. Joy, thank you so much for being on the show and for sharing. I really appreciate you. You are indeed a smart person. To all my listeners, thank you for being here, and I will remind you that when you stop learning, you stop living. Have a great day, everybody.